So anyway, we're in this series called Imagine Heaven. And we've really just been looking at a lot of questions about heaven because I believe that we just have just a lot of questions about heaven. We have questions like, is heaven really real? Like, is it really, really real? And if it is, like, what does it look like? Like, I've heard about heaven, but I just can't really picture heaven. Will I recognize the people that I love in heaven? Like, all these different questions. Will there be animals in heaven? And we have all these different questions that we have about heaven, and we can just continue to think of all these different ones because it's just kind of hard to picture and describe something that we've never really seen. And sometimes, if we're honest, it's really kind of hard to describe something to somebody, even if you have seen something. And so this one makes it very much more difficult because when we think about heaven, we have all these different things and ideas. And so we just have a lot of different questions about heaven. And we've also looked at this, some near-death experiences. And these are people who died, whether it was by a heart attack in a car accident or by drowning, and they were considered clinically dead, and they kind of share their story of what they saw and what they experienced and different things like that. And so what I want us to really stop and think, I believe and I hope, my prayer is that we've been in this series for about 5 weeks, is that we know a little bit more about heaven today than we did a few weeks ago. Because as we kicked off this series, I made this comment. Most of us have a better plan for our next vacation than we do for eternity. And some of us, we're good. We already know like what we're doing next summer. We already have our cruise booked. We already have our hotels booked. We already have everything lined up. And like, we know it's like 325 days to our vacation. And then we are really counting it down. And we have a lot of times, and I'm hoping that we can move from that having a better plan for a vacation to really understanding and having a better plan for eternity. And as we look through this, looked at a lot of different stories of people with near-death experiences. We've seen people who describe seeing Jesus. They describe seeing the nails in his hand and scars in his hands and the scars in his feet. And we hear what they have to say, and we hear them talk a lot about heaven. And we even heard one last week that made us realize that not all of the near-death experiences are good experiences. Some of them are hellish experiences. And I think through the research that it looked at, that what surprised me was that 23% of people who experience near-death experiences can have a bad experience. And so as we looked at these different stories, hopefully that we know a little bit more about heaven now than we did. And so as I look at this series, as we conclude this series, whether you've been to church like 5 Sundays your entire life, or you've been to church 50 years worth of Sundays in your life, I think sometimes it's easy for us to step back and ask this question. So what? So what if it's real? So what if what's really going on? Maybe you believe it, maybe you don't. And so we have this idea a lot of times is like, so what? Because there's a lot of things that we know to be true that make absolutely no difference in our life. So I want to share with you a few things that I'm pretty confident that you probably don't know, and once you do know them, they're going to make zero difference in your life whatsoever. And the first one is simply this. Did you know that hippos manufacture their own sunscreen, a red-orange sweat that protects from the UV rays? And so my question is, first of all, did you know it? Secondly, all you need to do to save money on sunscreen is get a pet hippo. And so you can save a lot of money. And some of the kids are like scared to death now the next time you spray them with sunscreen. The next one is simply this. If you're in space, if you have two pieces of metal that touch in outer space, they weld together permanently. Apparently, this is true. Something that I did not know. If astronauts take two metals, touch them together because of the lack of oxygen, that they weld together. And see, aren't you so glad you came to church this morning to learn all this good information? The next one is simply this. Flamingos can only eat with their heads upside down. I think I'm going to have to go to the zoo and kind of watch this one, because I had no idea that this one took place. The next one is simply this. The world hot dog eating record for 10 minutes, eating the bun and the dog itself, is 74. We're going to set up a table afterwards, and you can see if you can beat that record. In fact, there's like videos online, YouTube, that will teach you how to do that. You can wait and Google that afterwards. You don't have to do that right now. But the record is 74 hot dogs. The one that maybe will surprise you the most is this one. 8,000 Americans are injured by musical instruments each year. Like, how did you get that body cast? It was a tuba accident. I'm pretty sure the guys that usually play the guitar for us heard about this one today, and they were scared of the guitar picks, and so that's the reason they weren't able to make it this morning. But the truth is, now that you know all of those things, I truly believe they make, so what? Make absolutely no difference to you whatsoever, or at least I'm hoping you're not going to rub down your child with hippo sweat. And so when we stop and we think about that, I think a lot of information, though, that we take in, honestly, is this. So what? We take in a lot of information through the week and through each day, and a lot of, honestly, is like, so what? I really was useless information. Or so what? I really don't think I'm going to use that in life. So what? I really don't think that's important. And so we have this so what idea. But maybe the ultimate question is not what we really think it is. For some of us, we're asking the so what question, but maybe what if the ultimate question is, what if it's true? What if it's true? What if everything that we've talked about heaven is actually true? Because you can leave here thinking everything that we talked about in this series is true, and still make absolutely no difference in your life. Because we know a lot of things. So what if the ultimate question instead of so what if it's true is, so what are you going to do? So what are you going to do? What difference does it make about the things that we talked about? Because what if it is all true? Everything that we said, everything on the questions that we said, everything that we talked about heaven, what if it is all true? Then the ultimate question is, then what are we actually going to do with the information that we have? Because I'm pretty sure you've said in school at some point in time, or you heard your child say it in the middle of math class, and they're like, why in the world do I need this? Take this algebra class? And so what they're saying is, I'll listen and I'll learn it to get through this class, and I don't remember it whatsoever. And how do I know that? Because my son comes and asks me for help with math, and I'm like, I'm sorry, that was way too long ago. And I think that we sometimes treat a lot of information that we learn about heaven the same way. So what? That's a long time away. So what? It really doesn't matter. So I believe in it. And so the question I want us to consider then, so what are we actually going to do? See, Jesus, he ran into this throughout his life. And he had been doing life with these 12 disciples, these 12 followers that he had really close relationship with. And they had been together for about a year and a half. And a lot of people had a lot of different things to say about Jesus. So one day, he pulled his 12 closest followers together, known as the 12 disciples. And so he asked them a question. He said, who do you think I am? And here's kind of the answer that they began to say. They said, some people think that you're John the Baptist that came back from the dead. Some people, they think you're Elijah. Some people that think you're Moses. Some people think that you're a prophet. And I have to admit, as I read that saw something in this for the very first time, was it kind of was strange to me that only one of them said, did they come back from the dead, when every one of those people were actually dead in the first place. And as they asked the question, so who do people say that I am? It was John the Baptist, Elijah, Moses, a prophet. So then he turns the question around and he says, so who do you say that I am? And Peter, the outspoken one that liked to put his foot in his mouth a lot of times, that was definitely going to be the first one to answer, he just simply said, I'll tell you what I think. I think you're Christ. I think you're the Messiah. I think you're the promised one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus basically said, you're right. But what are you going to do with that information? See, knowledge without application has exactly zero value. We can have all the knowledge in the world without applying it to our life. It has zero value. You can think of it about this way. Let's say you have a garage and it is full of paint. Doesn't matter what color. It can be the most beautiful color. It can be the most awful colors. You have all the different paint that you can think of in your garage, in your house. And in your house, your walls really, really need to be painted. There's your kid's handprint rubbed across of them. There's that ugly color that you meant to replace when you moved into the house. And you have all this paint in your garage. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you have the perfect color in your garage, because until it's actually applied onto the wall, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever that it's sitting in your garage at home. And I'm afraid that's exactly what we do with a lot of the information that we have. It's sitting in our garage at home. It's sitting in the back of our mind. We know it. We believe it's there. In fact, we know that the paint's there. We know the knowledge to be true. But until we actually take out the paintbrush and actually begin to apply it, can anyone actually see the difference in our lives? And so the decision that you make about Jesus today, I want you to understand, echoes forever. The decisions that we make about Jesus today, it echoes forever. So what does it actually mean to surrender our life to Jesus? I want us to look at a few scriptures that make this just as clear as we possibly can. And hopefully, maybe it'll even correct some of our assumptions, and it'll kind of look at us some different things. Because maybe in John chapter 3, verse 16, verse 3, verse 21, it starts off and it says this: "For this is how God loved the world." And so maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, does God actually love me? Is it actually possible? What does he actually think about the world? Is God angry at me? Because if he saw what I did this week, then I promise you that people yelled at me this week, or people wanted to yell at me this week, or they didn't know that I actually did this. But if they knew, me and my spouse, we would be in an argument as soon as we got home if they found out about this, or my friends would be this. And so a lot of times we go through this and we have that question, does God really care? And we look at this particular verse, and if you know John 3:16, it's probably one of the most quoted verses anywhere in the Bible. And it basically just says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And maybe you memorize it in a little different version, and maybe things are a little bit different. But when you read this, I'm afraid a lot of times we've seen this, and what we've seen it used as, something to kind of just to beat us over the head with. Maybe you heard a pastor kind of yell it, "For God so loved the world," and they're kind of screaming it at you. And you stop and you think about this. I know that some of us struggle with the idea that God could actually love me. I've made too many mistakes. I let them down way too many times. And so as this verse starts, it says, "For this is how God loved the world." In other words, he made a decision a long, long time ago to love you. He made a decision a long, long time ago that he was going to send his son to die on the cross for you. And it goes on to say this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son." And this is why we see his hands nailed, his scars. This is why we see the feet. And why did he do that? So that everyone, not just the people that we think are the best, not the people that seem like they have it all together, but it says everyone. Every person, every race, every nationality, every person who's messed up, every person that seems to have it together, every single person. And it goes on to say, who believes in him? And we saw last week a story about Howard Storm as he died in his 30s. And he had this bad experience. And he shared this. He said, "I remember back when I was very, very young and I'd went to church just a handful of times. He said, I remembered three words of a song. Jesus loves me. And he couldn't remember any the rest of the song. And we see that. And he said in his story at that point when he uttered those words that Jesus rescued him. And it goes on to say there in verse 16, will not perish, but have eternal life. Those who actually put their faith and their trust in Jesus have eternal life. It goes on to say, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, this, God didn't send his son to judge you. He didn't send his son to tell you all the awful things that you have done in your life. He sent his son to love you. And it goes on in verse 18, it says, and there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. No judgment. And we live in a world, honestly, that we're pretty good about casting judgment. We're pretty good about letting people know when we don't like something. We're pretty good about saying things, or at the very least, we keep them to ourselves, but the thoughts are there. Like, I can't believe my husband walked out of the house wearing that this morning. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe this. And we have these judgments, and we use them all the time. And so it's very hard for us to understand there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. It goes on to say, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. Something that we impose on ourselves. For not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact that God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And that's what we saw earlier when we talked about being completely known and completely loved. And that we actually can be completely known by Jesus and still be completely loved. And many of us were afraid that when God, he actually looks into your life, he's like, oh, I didn't know that. Now that makes a little bit of difference. Oh, they did that? Oh, they said that? Oh, man. God already knows it all. There's nothing that surprises him. There's nothing that catches him off guard. There's nothing that he's like, oh, I never thought they would do that. He already knows it all. He goes on in verse 20 and says this, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. And a lot of times, that's exactly what we're afraid of, our sins being exposed. The mistakes that we made, for everybody to know it. That just doesn't sound like a great thing. And so we have that fear. And we have that fear so it keeps us away from God. And what God is saying here, he's saying, look, Jesus came to love the world. He came to forgive you. And it goes on and says, but those who do right... those who do what is right come to the light so others can see they are doing what God wants. And if you look in John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you. And at this particular time, he had walked up and he was tired and he's sitting there and there's a lady at the well. And he's asking for some water and she's like, well, you don't even have a bucket for water. And that's when he utters these words right here, and he says, if you only knew the gift God has for you. And this is a lady who had a lot to hide, said that she had been married multiple times, and actually she was in the well at the middle of the day. That means she was totally ashamed of what other people was, because she wasn't going to go at the same time everybody else was. She was going to go when no one else was there. And she goes on to say in that verse, and you are speaking to, and who are you speaking to, you would ask? I would give you the living water. And people were actually shocked that they were speaking to each other when it came right down to it. And they thought what he had to say made no sense. except that living water came from Jesus himself. Then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, it goes on to say this. Then an angel showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down to the center of Main Street. On each side, the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit and fresh crops each month. And we hear this tree of life, and this is the same tree of life that we talk about in Genesis, and we see that it's brought back up here, and we see it again. Now this time it's only a fulfillment of what's going on. It goes on to say, and the leaves of it were used for medicine to heal the nations. And I think that we could all agree that our nations need to be healed. And it goes on to say, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. There's no darkness. And we heard people describe how this light just emanates. And that seemed to be the word that they used. And for me, that was like a word that, honestly, I don't like to use that word every single day. But as you listen to different people, they said, and the light just emanated from him. There was no darkness. And then in verse 6, it goes on and it says, then the angel said to me, everything you have heard and have seen is trustworthy and true. See, the question, remember, the question is not, what if it's true? Because the scripture right there already tells us it is trustworthy and it is true. And it goes on. It says, the Lord God who inspired his prophets sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. That's the hard part. We don't know when it will happen. Tomorrow when I get in my car and I drive to work, I really don't know what's going to happen. On top of all of that, like Jesus could come back at any point in time. Like he could come back before I could finish the sermon, and some of you are like, that would be awesome. We just have no total clue whatsoever of what the next minute really holds for us. And then verse 7 goes on to say this, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of the prophecy written in this book. And if you looked at any of the ones who experienced these near-death experiences, not a single one of them got up that morning expecting that it was going to be their last day, that they were going to die. They didn't expect they were going to have that heart attack. They didn't expect that they were going to drown in the kayaking accident. They didn't believe that they were going to have that stroke. They didn't see any of those things coming. And so when verse 7 says, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of the prophecy that are written in this book. If you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, I ask you, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? We've been told over and over again in scriptures, like he's coming soon. We don't know when the soon is, but we also don't know when our last day on earth is, because we go to work tomorrow and we fall asleep at the wheel, or someone runs a stop sign or a red light in front of us. And I think back on why I decided personally to become a Christian. And I remember I was a young age, and thankfully I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. And I remember, in fact, my dad is a pastor as well. And I remember that particular night we were having a devotional at our house. And as I was thinking about that, if I'm totally honest, I don't remember like having a devotional like every single night. It wasn't something that we did every single time, every single week. But I remember this particular time, he began to share about Adam and Eve. And he was sharing about how the serpent came and how they sinned. And because of this, there was a need for forgiveness of sins. And I remember very clearly that I realized that I was a sinner like Adam and Eve, and that I needed that forgiveness of sin just like that. And see, I don't believe this because I am a pastor. I'm a pastor because I believe in this. And so when we stop and we think about these things, I want you to realize the decisions that you make today, they echo into eternity. The decisions that we make today, they echo into eternity. And if you're running from God, you're really just running from love. And if you're running from Him, then you're really just running for forgiveness. So my question is, why would you keep running? Because you're running from that love and that forgiveness. And in verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. See, Jesus loves you. And His invitation is to come. And it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It's more important than the decision whether you're going to have kids or not have kids. It's more important than the decision of am I going to retire when I'm 62 or 65. It's more important than the person that you're going to marry. It's the most important decision that you will ever make. And so it really brings us to the question, so what? But the ultimate question is this, what are you going to do? Because hopefully as we come to the end of the series, you know more about heaven than that you did. And hopefully now you have a better plan for eternity than your next vacation. So my simple question today then is just, so what are you going to do? And I want us to watch this video as Don Piper shares his story. And I assume that no sound's going to come out of the video this morning. But basically what he shares here of just why he came back. He said at his point in his story, he knew that he had this opportunity that he was there with Jesus. And he knew, he said that there was this point that he knew, and he couldn't really describe it, but there was this point like if he crossed this line, he knew that he wasn't coming back. And so he said the reason that he chose to come back was because he knew so many people who didn't know. And he just wanted other people to know about the love of Christ. And so maybe you're here today, and maybe we need to stop and think about the question that so many of us ask, like, so what? So what if the hippo has sunscreen? I don't know about you. I never plan on using that sunscreen. In fact, I'm going to check the sunscreen my wife buys next time. There's a lot of knowledge that we have. But without applying that knowledge, it makes zero difference in our life. And today, my prayer is that it's time for you to begin applying that knowledge. And whether it's the knowledge that Jesus came and died on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven of your sins for the very first time, or whether that's the knowledge to say, you know what? If you could have heard his story there, that he's right. I might not have experienced a near-death experience, but I'm still here. And so when I'm able to walk out of here, I know that there's people that don't know him. So the ultimate question is, not so what? Not so what if it's true? The ultimate question we need to ask this morning is, so what am I going to do? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you today, dear Lord, just thanking you for this day, thanking you for this time of this opportunity we have today just to worship you. I thank you for just sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for helping me in my battles, even when I sometimes try to do them on my own. I thank you for the things that you take care of for me each and every day. I just lift up everyone here today, dear Lord, and I just pray that you just help us answer that question, so what am I going to do? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to have a time of just worship. And maybe for you today, it's that question of, so what am I going to do? Am I going to take that knowledge that I have and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Or am I going to take that knowledge that I have and apply it and make sure that I tell someone and invite them to church next week and tell them about their love, the love for Jesus, that God loves you. He didn't come to judge you. He came to die for you.